Hello. Today, the Reading Clinic is on the move. We recommend books for listeners with wanderlust and what a literary prize can do for you. The Whitbread is up for grabs.
It was set up in 1971. Margaret Drabble, who's one of our judges this year, coincidentally was a judge in that very first year, along with J.B. Priestley and others. So she has a clear memory of what it was, and it was a discussion over a few beers. I mean, I don't think she drank the beer, about some good books.
Bud McClintock on the first ever Whitbread Book Award, and this year could be the last. But first, the finest novel I've read in some time. Edward St. Aubyn first achieved public recognition in the early 90s as a posh novelist whose own dark history of child abuse, drug abuse and general bad behaviour was poured to great effect into a trilogy ironically titled Some Hope. The work threatened to be overshadowed by his admission at the time that he was the 5-year-old raped by his father in the pages of his novel. He's back now with Mother's Milk, which continues the adventures of the semi-autobiographical Patrick Melrose, but in a standalone novel as delicious in its prose as it is illuminating in its observations. Now a father of 2 toddlers, Patrick is slowly sinking into a nightmare world of his own creation, terrified of visiting the sins of the father on his 2 young boys, and with his marriage falling apart, he struggles to escape his past and create a viable future. Edward St. Aubyn joins me now. Although it's Patrick's continued story, it's told in 4 voices, his wife Mary and his 2 young children. Was this a sort of conscious attempt to broaden Patrick's horizons?
I think there are 4 points of view rather than voices. In my trilogy, Some Hope, the point of view, it's not exclusively Patrick's. In this case, I wanted to have a balance so that all members of this family would have their perspective presented.
And the purpose of this balance, and did it present you with slightly more of a challenge as a writer?
I find all writing intensely
challenging.
And, you know, I don't start writing something unless I think it's almost impossible in the first place.
What seemed the impossibility about Mother's Milk?
Patrick Melrose is dominated by 2 people who can't speak, by a son who's an infant who hasn't yet learned to speak, and by a mother who's a post-stroke victim who is no longer capable of speaking. So I suppose one of the challenges was to try and bring words to these word-resistant experiences. And also the challenge is dealing with very strong emotional material swirling around the subject of mothers and of dependency and independence, if you like. I don't think, you said in your introduction that Patrick is worried about visiting the sins of the father on his 2 children. I don't think that is what he's worried about in this novel, but he's certainly worried about maternal issues, about
but he is struggling to be a good father. His concern is with being a good father and not bringing the weight of his past to burden his 2 children and their future.
Yes, but not his past as the son of his father.
I think you're being more literal than I was.
The past as the son of his mother is what I'm saying. This book is about the presence of the past in all people's lives.
Patrick's midlife crisis is partly fueled by his wife's transferal of her affections to their newest child. Perhaps you could read the passage where he sees his kind of culpability in transforming his wife into a version of his own mother, Eleanor, speaking of the past.
Patrick is already quite drunk and decides to stop at a bar on the seafront. Coffee, cognac, cigar. Just as well to get those chores out of the way, then he'd be free to enjoy the rest of the day. He lit his cigar, and as the thick smoke trickled back out of his mouth, he felt he was being shown a pattern, like a rug unrolling in a rug shop. He had taken Mary, a good woman, and made her into an instrument of torture, a weird echo of Eleanor 40 years ago. Never available, always exhausted by her dedication to an altruistic project that didn't include him. He had achieved this by the ironic device of rejecting the sort of woman who would have made a bad mother like Eleanor, and choosing one who was such a good mother that she was incapable of letting one drop of her love escape from her children. He could see that his obsession with not having enough money was only the material form of his emotional privation. He'd known these facts for years, but just at that moment he felt that his grasp of them was especially subtle and clear, and that his understanding gave him complete mastery of the situation.
The novel as a whole explores the possibility of leaving the past exactly where it should be, i.e. behind us. Did you come to any conclusions on the possibility of winning that battle?
Patrick dreams of what he calls Zone 3, Zone 1 being the compulsive repetition of the thing you most disliked about your own childhood, Zone 2, the overcompensation, protecting you against Zone 1.
And the zone he's stuck in.
Then there's Zone 3, which is only sensed as the possibility of another way of being. So the novel is certainly hinting at that, but it's not a manual, it doesn't describe how to get there.
But would you be able to if I wanted a manual?
Of course, but I'm keeping that for a sequel.
The point of view of all four members of the Melrose family feature in the book, and while all were convincing, I was slightly concerned about the sort of precocious 5-year-old Robert, who seems to understand absolutely everything about the adult world. And I wondered if you have the tendency, because of your own experience, to invent children who grow up too fast.
I don't know. That's one of the reasons why I emphasised that it was a point of view rather than a voice. I suppose, yes, I do probably, like everyone else, I'm rooted in my experience, and I suppose that kind of intensity and precocity, if you want to call it that, of growing up too fast is something drawn from my own life.
The pace of the book is very fast. You're sort of carried on this torrent of Patrick's rage against his parents, his mother, as you'll correct me, and the world. You seem to understand it very well, and I wondered if it's something of the same nature that fuels your writing.
Rage. Mm.
Fury.
It depends at what level you put the word fuel. I don't think that anger is a useful emotion to write with, but I think to write about things which once made you angry is probably inevitable.
Because it's taken a long time for you to write it in comparison to the sort of speed with which the first three novels, or the three novels in your trilogy, came out in the 90s.
Hmm. In between the trilogy and this book, I wrote a couple of other novels which are not Melrose novels. I came back to the Melroses because they're the vehicle for troubling autobiographical material, and it took a long time for me to be troubled enough to recall the Melroses.
I tend to avoid books about middle-class angst and being a parent and schooling and all those things like the plague. But were you worried about setting out to write, I mean, in many ways, what is in essence a domestic drama?
No, I suppose I feel very committed to the point of view that what makes something interesting is that makes a book interesting is the writing, and what makes it universal is the resonance that the reader feels with their own experience. The writing is everything.
Edward St. Aubyn and Mother's Milk is published by Picador.